do him the tova of unmuting him. One moment. Here we go. Okay, Rebbe Rosenzweig.
Okay, great. Just give me one. Excellent. Thank you. First of all, really great to hear the other shiurim. It's not often that you get to sit here and listen to the other wonderful shiurim and benefit from them. I'm going to share my screen. All right, Rabbi Goldberg, is there a way that I could share my screen? Is there a way to do that?
On the bar on the bottom?
Yeah, I got it. Just give me one second. Can you see my screen now? All right.
You're on, you're good.
Okay, good. Everyone sees it? Excellent. So what I wanted to discuss for the next about 15 minutes is the second bracha of the Birchos HaTorah that we make. Every morning, each morning when we wake up, we recite three Birchos HaTorah. The source for this is the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara gives us three different brachos, as the Gemara says. First bracha is Lasok B'Divrei Sora. I'm sure most of us are familiar with this. The Gemara records a second bracha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Harevna Hashem Elokeinu Es Divrei Sarascha B'Finu. It's the bracha of Harevna. And then a third bracha of Asher Bachar Banim Mikol HaAmim. And the Gemara says that we say all three of these brachos, and the Rishonim are somewhat puzzled, why does the single mitzvah of Talmud Torah require three separate brachos? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to survey a few views that are offered by the Rishonim and some early Achronim, and then I'm going to make a suggestion of my own and try to bolster the, you know, my own little chiddush here, my own interpretation of the bracha. So one view is put forward by the Baal HaMor in Brachos and Daf Hei and the Daf Hei Arif. He says that we make three separate brachos corresponding to the three different genres, three different types of Torah study. He says, Gimel brachos keneged Torah, Mishnah, and Medrash. Right, three different types of Talmud Torah. So we want to make three different brachos. Other Rishonim think that maybe the first bracha and the second bracha, like Harevna and Lasok, really go together, so they should be viewed as a single bracha, in which case we're really only making two. But as you could see, Harbeinu Yonah puts it, just a variation of that idea of the Baal HaMor, then we make one bracha keneged Torah Shebichsav and a second bracha keneged Torah Shebaal Peh. So the same idea as the Baal HaMor. We're making the brachos corresponding to the different genres of Torah study. So a contrasting view, the Ravid doesn't like this. The Ravid is very upset with Baal HaMor's position, as he usually is. Okay? The Ravid rarely likes what the Baal HaMor has to say. And he criticizes him on the following grounds. He points out that, look, Torah is really one in inyan. Torah, even though we have different forms of Torah, it's really one major theme, it's one idea. Atu kol inyan Torah lav inyan echad hu, v'lamat tzarech bracha l'chol echad ve'echad. Why would you need a different kind of bracha for each source, for each type of Torah? It's really just one topic. So the Baal HaMor, the Ravid disagrees with the Ravid, and he says that we're not making separate brachos on the different types of Torah. He says, really, it's a suffix. There are three different options of what kind of bracha we can make. We're not sure which one we should make, so we just make all three. But there's no in principle reason why we should make all three. Really, any one of them on its own should be sufficient. But because we're not sure which is the right one, we're going to make three different brachos out of uncertainty. This is us. This is the second view that comes out of the Rishonim. Just give me one second here. Okay. The Shutman HaShemayim offers us a third theory about why there are multiple brachos. He says, and again, he's working with the assumption that there are really two separate brachos because he merges Harevna with Lasok. He says, Birchas Lasok is a bracha on Talmud Torah, but Harevna is a bracha that you should be able to learn and to teach as well. So he thinks that there are two brachos here, a one for the mitzvah of learning and a separate one for the idea of teaching, this idea of lilmod ulilamed. So two brachos, one for learning and a separate one for teaching. Here I'll just survey a fourth shita before we get into our analysis of the bracha. The levush in Or HaChaim and Siman Mem Zayin, this is where Birchas HaTorah is codified in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, and this is, I think, a remarkable idea that's kind of quirky. The levush thinks that when we make two brachos in the morning, we're actually making one bracha on yesterday's learning. It's like a bracha achrona. It's like a birchas hamazon on learning yesterday's stuff. And then a new bracha on what you're going to learn today. Okay, I think he's the only one to really suggest it. But look what he says. He says, we make two brachos. Kidei shetehe achas nechsheves lebracha achrona al halimud shelamad esmol. One's the bracha after the fact on what you did yesterday. And this is for tomorrow's, and one bracha is for today's learning. And he tries to bolster his theory by noting that we use this phrase, harevna. So harevna, he says, means, anybody know offhand what harevna means? The words mean? Danny, I don't know if you can unmute yourself. Yeah, Danny, go for it, Danny, I see you.
Because someone at Charlotte Shedders asked that same question 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
Yeah, it makes sweet. Very good, Danny. Okay. It's great, right? Where else could you be in a shir where some people are wearing suits, some people are wearing scrubs? You know, this is the way to do it. To make sweet, right? Harevna, yeravna sichi alecha, right? Sweeten my words before you. So the Levush says that we want the words of Torah to be sweet in our mouths. And he says that's like a bracha achrona. He says you want the bracha that you learned yesterday. Sheyara befinu kol masha lamanu esmol. We want like the stuff that we learned yesterday not to leave a sour taste in our mouths. Right? We want it to remain sweet. We don't want like the new stuff that we're going to learn today to knock out the old stuff and that we'll think it's like sour or no longer pleasant. So we make this bracha achrona asking that even our past learning should remain sweet in our mouths. Kolomar sheyera b'finu v'lo tishkach mimenu ni'imus tama. Afal pisha nilmod hayom yoser v'tam macherim. Right, even though we're going to learn new things today, we want to keep the old taste of the old learning. Just like Danny said, right? He's got that taste of the shalosh shudis learning from 5 years ago, right? And you know, you want it to remain pleasant and remain with you with good feelings. Okay. So those are four theories why we have multiple brachos. So again, just to review quickly, we have the Ravid, who thinks that there are different types of Torah learning. Each requires its own bracha, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnayis, etc. We have the Ravid, who thinks that it's really one bracha, just we're not sure which bracha to make. So Misafek, we make all three. We have the Shutman HaShemayim, who thinks that one's a bracha on learning, one's a bracha on teaching. And then we have this fourth sheet of the Levush, that one's a prospective bracha on what we're going to learn today. Harevna is retrospective on what we learned yesterday, and he points to the language of making sweet. We want the taste of the Torah to remain sweet in our mouths. Okay. As I pointed out, the Levush's interpretation assumes, like Danny, that the proper translation of harevna is to make sweet. And you could see Rabbeinu Manoach is an important Provençal commentary on the Rambam. So Rabbeinu Manoach here, it's published in the standard Frankel edition of the Rambam. He says, Harevna, make sweet. She'achar havanasam yu lanu arevim umesukim. After we learn, we want the taste of Torah to be sweet and pleasant in our mouth. V'nishkach kol ha'amal she'amalnu behem. V'yashiv lanu ha'amal hahu limnucha ve'oneg. I think this is also a strange idea, but he's saying that if someone spends so much energy and toil in their learning, then they're gonna be left with like a traumatic bad experience. You know, I don't know if you hope no one's been to a shir where, you know, it was so tortuous and so bad to sit through that you're like, I never want to learn again. Well, the Bina Manoach seems to be thinking along those lines. And he says, you know, we want to forget the hard work that we had to invest in our learning so that we'll be amenable to continuing our study and learning going forward. Really, it's an intriguing idea. Although it's kind of strange, right? Usually we think that struggling with our learning and putting in an effort and working hard are virtues of Torah study. Here, the Rabbeinu Manoach seems to assume that we want to make this bracha as to forget all that and just have this pleasant experience afterwards. But as you can see, Rabbeinu Manoach is assuming that we translate Harevna in the manner of Arevim Umesukim. The words of Torah should be sweet in our mouths. Okay. That's the background. What I want to suggest is a different idea, a different interpretation of the bracha of Harevna, and therefore, by extension, a different theory, a different idea for why we make multiple Birchos HaTorah. So I want to just draw your attention to the content of the bracha of Harevna. You can see again back in the Brachos, the Gemara Brachos Yud Aleph. This is where the Gemara records these brachos. The Gemara cites Rabbi Yochanan as the author of this bracha, and he says, Harevna Hashem Elokeinu es divrei sarascha bifinu, uvefios amcha beis Yisrael, v'niya anachnu v'tzatzainu v'tzatzai amcha beis Yisrael, kulonu yodei shemecha, v'ozkei sarascha, brachat Hashem lami Torah lami Yisrael. And so you could get a sense that the bracha here has something to do with niya anachnu v'tzatzainu, that our descendants should all engage in Torah, our children should learn Torah and study in the same manner that we do. So there's something about the bracha that's pointing towards the Torah study of future generations. Tzatzainu v'tzatzai amcha beis Yisrael. So I think that's an important clue. And if you look at the Sefer HaManig, Ravram HaYarchi, also an important Provençal Rishon who wrote this Sefer, it's called HaManig, but it's not about Minhagim, it's more about code of halacha. And he says that the source for this bracha, that if you look at the text of the bracha, you'll see it's really patterned on a Gemara in Bava Metzia. He says, Kedarminan be Bava Metzia, Socher Sapoalim, Kol mi shehu Talmud Chacham, Uveno Talmud Chacham, Uben Beno Talmidei Chachamim. Right, so if you study Torah and your children study Torah and your grandchildren study Torah, shuv ein haTorah posekes mizaro. That's like a guarantee that the Torah will remain in your family for future generations. You know, it's not just a fluke that you were able to study. If you invest three generations of a family into toiling and studying and gaining the wisdom of the Torah, then there's this guarantee that the Torah will remain in your family for future generations. Shenemar lo yamush mipicha umipi zera zarecha amar Hashem me'atav ad olam. Okay? And the Gemara concludes, amar Hashem ani arev bedavar zeh. And you can see this quote from the Manig really comes directly out of the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Again, it's Rabbi Yochanan. Note that Rabbi Yochanan is the same author of the bracha in Brachos Yud Aleph. He's the one who has the bracha of Harevna. So the Manik says, yes, he's really basing himself off this drasha and Bava Metzia Pehei, which talks about securing three generations of Torah studying in a family. And Hashem says, if you get those three generations, ani arev lecha bedavar zeh, I guarantee that this Torah wisdom will stay in your family for even future generations. So I want to point out two important ramifications of viewing this Gemara as the source of the bracha. First, the Gemara here is emphasizing three generations as significant, right? So if you study, that's not enough. If your children study Torah, you know, your work isn't done. So once you get three generations, that's when you could hang your hat and say that you fulfilled your Talmud Torah. So there are two important ramifications of this idea. The first is the proper girsa of the bracha, right? What's the proper text? So if you look in a siddur, you know, there's always these parentheses inserted inside the Birchas HaTorah. And one of the controversial ones is whether you should say V'niya anachnu v'tzatzainu v'tzatzai amcha beis Yisrael. That's what the Bach says, is b'chol ha-sidurim. Right? If you look at all the sidurim, you'll find that it's anachnu v'tzatzainu. So that's we and our descendants, right? It sounds like it's one generation. But the Bach says that if it's true that Gemara and Bava Metzia about three generations is the source of this bracha, then we should really specify three generations in the text. We should have to say v'niya anachnu, v'tze'etza'enu, v'tze'etza'etza'enu. Right? You want to specify three generations should merit Torah study. V'chein shamati shenogin kach b'mdinos acheros v'nachonhu. And he says, oh, I heard there's a version of the bracha out there in other countries, and I think that's right once you appreciate that this Gemara in Bava Metzia is the source of the bracha. Okay, so that's one important ramification. The second is about how we're supposed to interpret the word of harivna in the beginning of the bracha. So does anybody want to anticipate how we should interpret harivna in the beginning of the bracha here, if this Gemara is the source? I'll pull open the Gemara again, so you could take a look at it. Yeah, and notice here. What does arev mean? Notice that Gemara uses that phrase, ani arev lecha bedavar zeh. Right? So what does arev mean in that context? I don't know. Do I have to unmute people? Is that the... I have to unmute people? Oh, this is hard. This is real power, you know? All right, Harry, I see that you're here, so...
Arev is a guarantor.
Yeah, an arev is a guarantor, right? So we know you're a lawyer by profession.
And I learned Bava Metzia.
Okay, fine. Good. it's also Bava Basra, too. Yeah, very good, Ari. In context, right, that Gemara, arev, means guarantor. Doesn't mean make sweet. And of course, in the Torah, you find this, that arev means guarantor in certain places. Anochi arvenu miyadi tivakshenu. Right, when Yehuda tells Yaakov, you know, I'll make sure to get Yosef back. I'll guarantee Binyamin, right? I'll make sure that he comes back alive. Anochi arvenu. And if you learn Bava Basra, you know that an arev is the guarantor on a loan. So I actually think that once you appreciate that this Gemara in Bava Metzia is the source for the bracha, we have to reinterpret what the opening words mean. Harevna Hashem Elokeinu as Divrei Sarascha Befinu is interpreted by the Rishonim we opened this year with as saying that our Torah should be made sweet in our mouths. And, you know, the interpretations, I think, were somewhat unpersuasive, right? The Rabbeinu Manoach said that it's because we don't want to have to remember all the difficulty and, you know, we're sitting through a shir and working through a sugya. That's kind of strange, right? Because Chazal celebrate the difficulty of learning as a virtue. Then we saw the Levush who had this other idea that it's the Torah from yesterday that we wanted to remain sweet in our mouths. But I think once you appreciate that the bracha, it's Rabbi Yochanan working off his drasha in Bava Metzia, Harevna, Hashem Elokeinu es Divrei Sarascha Befinu, v'fi osamcha beis Yisrael, v'niye anachnu v'tze'etzo'enu v'tze'etzo'enu, is that we're asking Hashem that in our Torah study, we should merit that it's not just our own persons, we ourselves, who get to engage with the wisdom of the Torah, but that we should succeed in transmitting it to our children and to our grandchildren. And we should secure three generations. So the bracha, in my view, is actually asking Hashem to allow us to merit achieving to securing three generations of Torah study in the family, such that we reach the stage where he guarantees, right, as the word of the Gemara, as the phrase in the Gemara goes, that the Torah will remain in your family for generations after that. So the bracha is about us wanting to secure those three generations, which triggers the guarantee of the Torah remaining in our family for future generations after that. I think there's just a very nice way of bringing this idea home and putting into context why this is part of our Birchas HaTorah. So the Maharal Prague in our Chidushei Agados, okay, I'm sure some of you are surprised to see me quoting a Maharal Prague in his Chidushei Agados, but it's not an endorsement of all the Chidushei Agados, just this happens to be a nice piece. And even here, I think the Maharal, you know, the Maharal gets a little too far afield in his philosophy, but there's a kernel of an idea here that I think is really insightful and important for understanding the bracha. He says that, we don't have to buy into his metaphysical framework, but what's important for our purposes about what he says is that, you know, if a person just himself studies Torah, you know, it could easily leave his descendants. And he says, even though a person himself is a Baal Torah, he's a scholar, it's still conceivable that it won't carry on, he won't pass it on to future generations, because she'ein ha-Torah kinyan gamor elav. You know, you haven't fully acquired Torah if it was just something that was personal, that you yourself studied it for yourself, even for good religious reasons. He says, but once you secure three generations, when you and your children and your grandchildren engage in this study of Torah's wisdom, that's a chut hameshulash, and it shows that the Torah now is yesh la Torah chibur v'tziruf gamor elav. Now, I'll use a different phrase. Now you've made a real kinyan on the Torah. Now the Torah has really become a part of you and your family. And once you achieve that acquisition, that kinyan of Torah, then it's going to, Hashem guarantees that it will stay in your family for future generations. So just to put it all into a word, I think the idea here is that we make the bracha of Harevna is not a bracha on the pleasantness of Torah, that it should be sweet enough, but it's a bracha on securing future generations of Torah study in our families. And that's because what it means to make a kinyan on Torah, to really acquire Torah, is that it becomes more than just your own personal study. You've passed it on to one generation, and even that's not enough. You passed it on one generation such that that generation is willing to pass it on to the next generation. That's what a kinyan ha-Torah really requires. And I think that's why we make these two separate brachos, or maybe even three brachos, on Birchas HaTorah, but I'll just talk about two. One is for the act of learning, right? The Maisa Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But there's an important second dimension, and that is that even our own learning has to aspire towards this Kinyan HaTorah, which is more than one's own personal learning. It's the Kinyan HaTorah where the Torah becomes something that you transmit to the next generation, in such an intense way, or in such a mature way, that it gets passed on to a generation after that. And that's just the message I want to leave you with for Shavuos, and also a nice way of thinking about the bracha of Birchas HaTorah. I'm happy to take questions if anybody has any quick questions. Rabbi Goldberg, is that okay? I'll unmute you. Rabbi Goldberg, is that okay if I take... Okay, so yeah. Danny, I see you have a question. I'll unmute you. Actually, I can't unmute you. Maybe.
Could this be the reason why we invoke the Papa family when we make a seum in each generation?
Yeah, it could be. It's possible. I wonder if that goes into three generations or all just Chanina Bar Papa. You know, it's all just Bar Papa, right?
I don't know.
All right. You know, maybe it's like Bar Bar, and just, you know, the editor put in like Papa after all of it. But yeah, it's a nice suggestion. Oh, Marty has a hand. Ray Goldberg, I think you have to unmute, because I think, I don't know if I have the...
Can you undo the screen sharing? It'll be a little easier for me to...
Yeah. Let me undo the screen sharing.
Can you hear me?
I'm going to... Yeah. Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. No, it's just an interesting point of a Kenyan like a Chazak, and a Chazak is three. So it's three generations would be like a Chazak. You've established a Chazak on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, you know, definitely you see this idea in Chazal that three is the magic number in terms of Chazakos. And I think that's why the Maral is pointing out that this is the magic number for the Kinyan HaTorah, 100%. Yeah, it's a very nice point, Marty. Let's see.
Any other questions?
Speak now or forever hold your peace. Look, guys, it's early. You know, this is 9:47 instead of 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, this is it's a gift to us all.
That is true. I want to thank Rabbi Rosenzweig for his beautiful Divrei Torah. Thank you, of course, Rabbi Kisus, Rabbi Pupko, who led us off. And thank all of you for participating tonight. Unfortunately, we won't be able to learn together for a Tikkun Leil Shavuos, but it certainly gave me chizuk, and I'm sure many of you as well, to be able to enter into Shavuos with this Torah in our hands and in our ringing in our ears. I wish you all a very meaningful, beautiful Yom Tov, and I look forward to seeing you all, hopefully, in the right time, Bezrat Hashem, in the coming weeks ahead. Everyone, continue to take precautions, be safe, and be well. Again, have a good Yom Tov. Bye-bye.